Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. I'm going to read something from the Madhya Lila, chapter 12, the cleaning or cleansing of the Gundita temple. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhasha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura summarizes that this chapter as follows. The king of Orissa Maharaj, Prataparudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Narad Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan, and he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Roy again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Roy to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Prataparudra. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gundita house before the Rath Yatra took place. He then took his bath at Indradumya and partook of prasad and the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundita, some Gaudiya Vaishnav washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. This incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then again, the son of Advaita Prabhu named Gopal fainted during kirtan, and when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prasad. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone, and that it was not the duty of a household Brahmin to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. So this goes on. So I'm just going to read the part that has to do with the Gundita, washing the Gundita temple. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. When the Kara festival of Lord Jagannath approached, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kasi Misra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them to wash the temple known as Gundita. Purport. The Gundita temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of the Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundita temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indradumya, the king, who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundita. There is also mention of the name of the Gundita temple in authoritative scriptures. The area of the Gundita temple is estimated to be 282 cubits by 215 cubits. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits. And the meeting hall is 32 cubits by 32 cubits. How big is a cubit? I don't think so. Maybe. Upon hearing the Lord's request for them to wash the Gundita temple, the Pandita, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform." The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. My dear lord, Washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you. As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hands smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Simhasan, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt, and this way became transcendentally beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places he even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhoga Mandira, was cleansed, then the yard was cleansed, and all the residential quarters, one after the other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. The Lord told the devotees, "I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside." Even though the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allocated areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceilings, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, Singhasan, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and the floor. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. That water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water. Another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Srupa Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy names of... And who else? Hari. One person began to beg for a water pot by chanting the holy names Krishna, Krishna. Another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna, Krishna. whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of
Krishna.
Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with a hundred hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him, but if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You have done very well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed, thus they began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagamohan area, and then the place where food was kept, all of the places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all the places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took the water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Srupa Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me." At this point, Srupa Damodar caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha temple and made him stand outside. After Srupa Damodar returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While the Lord was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collections, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All the quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appears as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gate of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed in the Shingha temple inside and outside. Finally, he rested a few minutes, began dancing. Sounds like they were enthusiastic to clean. So purport, this is to 135. In commentating on the cleansing of the Gundija temple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. One wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Shikshastika. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ridyantaksto Hyabhajani. To wash all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 also confirms this statement. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana Vridyantakstohi Abhijani Vidunoti Saristatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, was the Paramatma Supersoul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If the devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Sri Krishna, Shrinvatam, Swakata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundija temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundija temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds or dust, in other words, anyabhilasita purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruit of work, speculative knowledge, and mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must also be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Inyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma niravritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruit of activity, severe austerity, penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, samsara vishanale divya nishi hiya juvale Judaite na kainu upaya. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices or auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind, a fruit of activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistake, mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes the Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. However, when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor do they know what devotional service is. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita in this way. Tanaham dvishata kuran samsareshu naradaman shibham yajasram ashubham asrishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous and who are the lowest among men are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The demons are always envious of the Lord and are therefore most mischievous. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may be free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishta, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities, nisidachara, accepting things forbidden in this shastra, kama, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by sitting in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by the other material desires as well, women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of materialists. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. The word jivahimsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as parapakara, paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Maya bodies, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or a miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regular principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, and meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as evidenced from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse away all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inform us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, one should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasad and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord is personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called an artha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandira was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and smoothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. In other words, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple has its significance beyond just the cleaning. That is, the significance is that we're also supposed to clean our heart, not only the temple, but also our heart. And that the cleansing temple is affected by hearing and chanting about Krishna. Although it's a simple process, if it's done according to the authorized method, then it becomes effective. Of course, when we hear, say, hearing, we have to learn how to hear. It is not that simply we sit there and we hear, and that's automatically we hear. Because our minds being agitated by material desires, therefore, even when we're trying to hear, we're also hearing our mind speak to us simultaneously. Or our emotions. Even subtler than our mind is our mood. Sometimes we have the mood that, yes, this will be nice, very nice, this is very nice subject matter. And sometimes we have the mood that, I dare you to tell me anything I don't know. I've already heard all this millions of times, and I know everything. And not only I know everything, but I know a lot more than the speaker does. So that kind of hearing, of course, will not be very submissive. And it's very subtle also, because it is our mentality is not always, we're not always conscious of it. And even if we're conscious of it, we have nothing to compare it with. It seems perfectly all right to us. And even if it doesn't seem perfectly all right to us, because we have nothing to compare it to, we don't know what else to change it to. Therefore, this idea of submission, of course, varies according to our circumstance. When everything's going nicely, generally we're a little less submissive than when we're in difficulty. In the face of difficulty, then suddenly we become much more submissive. Like Ajamil, in the face of seeing the Yamadutas, suddenly became a little bit more Krishna conscious. Of course, hopefully we don't have to wait to see the Yamadutas before we develop some inspiration to take shelter of Krishna. But in the course of Kali Yuga is such a nice area, there's so many problems going on that we're forced to take shelter of Krishna if we're devotees. In any case, what the stumbling blocks have to be known, as mentioned here, what were some of the stumbling blocks that have to be, we have to become aware of? What's that? Yes. That's two. Pratishta. What's the word for fame? Well, that's certainly the word for fame. Pratishta. Puja, pratishta, kama, kutinati. What does kutinati mean? What's that?
Duplicity.
Yeah, duplicity. Jiva hingsa. Yeah, envious of other living entities. Are we ever envious of other living entities? Mm-hmm. Not sure. Jiva hingsa, kutinati, what else? Pratishta, labha, material gain. So those are the major ones. And then there, what is kutinati? What is the symptom of kutinati that Prabhupada explains in the purport? What's one of the symptoms? Yeah, one is sitting in this, he doesn't preach. Prabhupada said, if one stops preaching, that's material activity. Kutinati, and then Prabhupada says, materialism, mayavadi, and not following the regular principles. So there's a number of anarthas to be cleansed. Vishwanath Chakravati Thakur has mentioned that there are four major categories of anarthas. What are the four major categories of anarthas? And Anishtata Bhajana Kriya. Has anyone read the Madhuri Kandambini? What? Yes, there are different weaknesses of the heart. One of them is aparas due to devotional service imperfectly performed. The other is due to our past sinful and pious activities. The other is due to na aparads, nam aparad, gam aparad, seva aparad, etc. So those are also. And of all those, he emphasizes nam aparad, that we can take care of all the other anarthas and aparads if we chant offenselessly. And of all the offenses, inattentive chanting is the one that's the source of all the other offenses. So if we chant attentively, then that will help us overcome all the other anarthas and come to the platform of nishtata, or nishta, vajna kriya. In other words, jiva hingsa, kutinati, labha pratishta, puja, all these different things, they're all just distractions. So if we're not distracted by them, then they'll just go away. And if we pay attention to Krishna and he kindly appears, then naturally he'll cleanse away even the tendency to think of these things, and instead we'll become attracted to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to cleanse the heart by hearing and chanting, and he demonstrated the Gundicha temple pastime to encourage us to do that. And we'll know that we've reached the goal when Krishna appears in our clean and cool hearts, unagitated by material desire. So we'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
The purport sometimes it says cleanse the heart, and sometimes it also says cleanse the mind. So how do you understand this? The two components?
Well, the mind is the heart is where the soul sits. And generally the heart is considered to be unclean when the mind is unclean. So both the same. As it says, Paravastavad abhoda jato yavana jignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavadidam manovai Paramatmaka yena sharira vandaha. One is said to be defeated by ignorance as long as one does not inquire about one's real self. As long as one is not inquisitive about one's real self, then one's mind will be covered by fruit of desires. As long as the mind is covered by fruit of desires, then consciousness is unclear. And as long as consciousness is unclear, then one has to take one body after another. So, it is up to the soul to become determined to find out the real path, or the actual path, of utilizing his body and mind so that they become purified. So, both the soul has to become determined to cleanse the mind. Just like in our body, we have the heart and we have the lungs, or we have which are compared to the major organs in the body. So the heart has to direct the lungs how to purify the air or whatever else we're breathing to get the energy that's needed for the body. So in the same way, the soul has to direct direct the mind and the activities to act in Krishna consciousness so they become purified. So it's not only the heart, it's the heart with the soul inside directing the mind through the intelligence how to act in Krishna consciousness to invoke Krishna's mercy so they become purified. Yes.
When we read about all these parathas and we hear about everything, sometimes our mind becomes so caught up with all these things that, oh, my devotional life is not going good because of this and that and that. You know, it starts analyzing all that. So how do we avoid, you know...
Well, it's not bad to analyze it, but we should reach the conclusion that we should get rid of the anarthas. Or at least chant Hare Krishna, take to the medicine, hearing and chanting, and recognize what the anarthas are. So if we see an anartha, we can stop at the first one and see if we can get rid of that one before we go on to the next one. We don't have to analyze everything. Just analyzing the anarthas won't help us very much. We should know something about what they are, but we can work on one at a time. We don't have to work on the unlimited number of anarthas. And we work on it by hearing and chanting about Krishna and not becoming disturbed by the anartha. To just meditate on the anarthas without meditating on Krishna will be a waste of time. We should rely upon Krishna to take care of the anarthas. By ourselves, we're very tiny. Krishna says, Zaibi esha gunamayi, mama maya duratya, mame va ye prapadente, mayame tam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes, is difficult to overcome, but those who take shelter in me can easily cross beyond them. So the conclusion should be, when we recognize an anartha, we should rely upon Krishna to help us overcome it.
It also happens that even in Kali Yuga, because memory is very short, so sometimes even if we realize that yes, this was, you know, this was the mistake or this was the anartha, and next time I should not do like that, but then sometimes we do the same thing again because...
Yeah, after some time. Punas charvita charvananam. Eventually we'll get tired of it. We do it enough time. Krishna will help. Therefore, devotional service is a purifying process. Due to the bijam and papam, aparabdhan and parabdha karma, and kutam, and avidya. So, the root cause of all sinful activities is avidya or ignorance. So the more we understand about Krishna, the more our tendency towards sinful activity will diminish, or towards anarthas. So we just have to keep on hearing and chanting about Krishna, and gradually these things will go away. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, as you said the other day, blaspheming other devotees is a very heinous offense, because sometimes we are thinking about other devotees and thinking about their bad qualities, that's a very bad thing. We should not never do it. So, what? Where is friction? Which category? Kuta or Bija or which one?
Well, it's kutinati, enviousness of other living entities.
Because as you said, even if somebody is chanting even one holy name, we should think them as devotees.
Well, we should at least respect them within the mind. Just by chanting once, I mean, chanting once the holy name is more than just putting together a few syllables. I mean, it's chanting with believing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it's not really the holy name. It's something that appears like the holy name. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Gundicha Marjanam Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Swami Swalananda Swami Ki Jai.